Let me invite you this morning to find your sermon notes. Of course, yours look a little different because mine, of course, have the answers on them. But I will give them to you if you are patient today. But before we get to that, how many of you know what October the 31st, that date, what it signifies? Now think, remember you're in church now, so there's another very important holiday on October the 31st. This is the other one. Anybody? What is it? Yes. It is the Reformation, and it is the celebration of the 500th anniversary. Now I'm old, but that's really old. 500 years on October the 31st. We're not quite there yet, but we're going to take a couple of weeks to talk a little bit about the Reformation, and then all year we're going to highlight it from time to time. Now, it's not advisable generally to begin a sermon with a complaint, but I'm going to. After all, I am the pastor, and it's my privilege. I can do that. But the reason I say that is because that's really what we are remembering. 500 years ago, Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic monk and priest, had 95 complaints. Now, I've only got one today, so that's small in comparison. And he took these 95 complaints, they were called theses or statements, and he posted them on the church door. So I could have posted my complaint there on the door, but because it's raining, I don't think anybody would have paid attention. So 95 statements of complaint. Well, I've got one, and it has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. It has nothing to do with the church whatsoever. In fact, you'll probably think it really doesn't even make sense. But I do have a complaint. And the reason that I'm thinking about it is because of the time of the year. We are entering fall. We've had some great weather, but lately, if you notice, the leaves are beginning to change color, right? Right? And it's getting cooler. This week is supposed to be in the 40s, even to the 30s. So it reminds me of my youth. You see, this time of the year, when it got cooler in the fall, when our youth group would gather together at the church, we would always have outdoor games. And we had to do this. In the summer, it was very hot. Then in the fall, it had cooled down. In the winter, of course, the snow and everything, you go inside. So we would gather for the great games of our childhood. Does anybody remember? Kick the can. Anybody? Kick the can. Isn't that a great game? You know, my kids say, what, didn't you have a football? I mean, couldn't you kick the... They don't get it. You know, it's all about picking the sides and going and hiding. Or capture the flag. Anybody play capture the flag? Great game. Ghosts in the graveyard. Anybody? Ghosts in the graveyard, there's a fun one, right? Lots of great games. Well, I remember when I was a teacher, I just graduated from college. My first position was to teach biology at Valley Lutheran High School, Saginaw, Michigan. Now, I'm the new guy. I am not yet 21 years old. And so they always give the new guy senior class advisor. Now, I don't think that's a very good idea because some of my kids are 17 or 18, and I'm scared to death of them. I'm like, what am I going to do with these kids? So they take us all up to northern Michigan. So a little quick lesson here. Those of you who are not Michiganders, Michigan, right? Saginaw, right? We would go up here for camp for a week. So everyone would bond together. I had 100 kids, 100 seniors. So it is Saturday. We've been there almost a week. I'm exhausted. The kids aren't. They have all kinds of energy. So me and the other teachers, we get all the kids out in a field, 100 kids, and we're going to play the classic game, Foxes and Chickens. Very simple game. Everybody gets in a circle. We go around and we say, you're a fox. You're a chicken. You're a fox. You're a chicken. All the way around. Chickens, when the whistle blows, you're supposed to run and hide. Foxes, when the whistle blows, you then, when the second whistle blows, are supposed to go and find the chickens. Very simple game. So here we are, all in a big circle. Go around, we tell everybody what their role is, and then we blow the whistle. And it is bedlam. I mean, there are kids running everywhere, running into each other. They're falling down, they're getting up, and they're going to run. Here's the problem. We didn't tell anybody they were foxes. Pure genius. All the kids go and hide. All the teachers go and take a nap. It's great. You notice there's a common theme in all of those childhood games. You put it up on the screen. The common theme is this. It's all about hiding. It's all about hiding. And so the goal of all those childhood games is always exactly the same, right? Go ahead and put that up on the screen. The goal is always to hide, isn't it? So if you want to fill in your blanks, hide so that no one can find you. But here's the interesting thing. Even though the goal is to hide, the joy in the game, and it's why the only joy for the teachers up in Michigan was for the ones taking the nap, the joy is always in being found. That's the fun of the game, isn't it? You know, when you're hiding, you sit there and you wait 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 and you wonder, is anybody ever going to find me? And then it's when they find you. That's the fun. That's the joy. Well, I would suggest to you today that our lives here on earth bear a strange resemblance to those childhood games. We all have secrets, and we don't want anybody to know. Right? We all have certain habits. We all have certain character flaws. We even have past events that we think in our mind are shameful or embarrassing. And so we do whatever we can to deny them, to hide them, to cover them up. And the thing is, none of us really gets it. Just like our kids today don't always understand why we tell them to go outside, get off your iPhone, get off the computer, get off the Xbox, go play a real game. Well, here as we celebrate the Reformation, even 500 years after the fact, we still don't really get it. And not just the Catholics. You know, every year, somewhere in October, we Lutheran preachers have to make a nice Catholic joke. Well, we're not going to offend the Catholics today. We're just going to offend everybody. How about that? All right? At the time, the Catholics didn't get it. But so often, we as whatever we are, it doesn't matter the denomination, it doesn't matter the background, we as Lutherans don't always get it either. Look at that Bible verse that's in your notes. The book of Romans says, all have sinned. It doesn't say Catholics have sinned or Lutherans have sinned. It says all. All have sinned. You've sinned, I've sinned, everyone has sinned, and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. So we can't hide, my friends. You know that confession thing that we do every Sunday that we started with? God already knows our sins. We're not admitting them so that God knows. God already knows. It's not a game. We can't hide. And we can't deny and we can't cover up. Nor, as people did 500 years ago, can we attempt to pay for our sins. But here's the frustrating thing. Here's the game that we play. We still try and do it, don't we? Lord knows we still try. Well, we can hide from other people. And so we try and hide from the Lord as well. Well, the good news today and the message of the Reformation is that the truth, by admitting what God already knows, what we already know, by admitting that to God and to ourselves, that truth will indeed set us free. Jesus once said, he said it to Pontius Pilate, but it's words for all of us as well. When we know the truth then will indeed set us free. So we're going to talk about that this morning, about that truth, about the Word of God. Before we do that, let me just make a submission to you. A premise that there are only two religions in the world. Now, I know that there's all kinds of religions. There's Judaism, there's Hinduism, there's Buddhism, there's Islam, there's Christianity. Christianity is divided into hundreds of different sects and denominations. But there's really, when you boil it all down, there's only two religions. Only two. They're all the religions of the law. The religion that says you must, you have to. You gotta do something in order to please God. In order to appease his wrath, you've got to do something. You've got to sacrifice. You got to pay. You got to confess. You got to do penance. And then there's the other one. And that's the religion of the gospel. And that's the religion that Martin Luther rediscovered. It's the religion of the Bible. You see, at the end of the New Testament, at the book of Revelation, all the people understood very clearly, we can do nothing. God has done it all. God sent his son Jesus because we couldn't pay for our own sin, so he died on the cross. And it's all done. We are the religion of it's all done. But somewhere along the line in those 500 years, people got the idea, again, well, I got to do something. And then when you think, I got to do something, then your mind says, I can never do enough. I mean, how do you know? How do you know when you do enough? Have I paid enough? Have I done enough? And that was the religion of Martin Luther in all the church, because there was only one Christian church in 1517. It was a religion of the law. So Martin Luther says, well, if I have to please God, I am going to be the best person I could ever possibly be. And so he decided, I'm going to be a monk. I mean, what bigger sacrifice is there than to be a monk? Go away from all the people. I'm not going to participate in any of the pleasures of the world ever again. Not only that, I'm going to be a priest. And not only that, he would literally beat himself unconscious in order to please the Lord. So here's the question. How did we get there? How did we get there at the end of the book of Revelation, about 90 AD, where it was very clear Christ has done it all, to now in 1517, where everyone believes that we have to do it ourselves? Well, it's ignorance. How did we get there? It was ignorance. You see, everybody had to trust this guy right here in front, not me personally. I'm old, but I'm not that old. People couldn't read. Literally, they could not read. And even if they had a Bible, it was too expensive. They couldn't read it. No Bibles, no one could read, so they relied on what was told to them by the authorities. And so they didn't know the truth, so they couldn't be set free. So the next question, could it ever happen again? Can it happen today, 500 years later, in 2017? Anybody, what do you think? Can it happen again? Of course. Not only can it, but it does. And there are Christians all over the world today who still don't get it. Now, in 1517, there was an excuse. No Bibles. Couldn't read it even if I had one. Anybody here have a Bible? Raise your hand. Anybody got a Bible? Got two of them? Raise your other hand. Yep. Got three of them? Raise a foot. Four, five, wiggle your toes. Yeah, we got Bibles. Okay. So the thing that solved the problem in 1517, this tyranny of ignorance, was what? Bible study. Not a who, but a what? Circle that. Not a who, yeah, Martin Luther, but why? How? Martin Luther began to study his Bible. He began to read because he had questions. It wasn't all adding up. And the more he read, the more he learned, the more he understood that God's already done everything. We don't have to do anything. We have the privilege of serving and loving God and our neighbor in response to what God has done for us, but that's not the requirement to get us to heaven. Bible study. It is a hallmark of the Reformation. Sola Scriptura, the Word alone. That is what sets us free. And so Martin Luther came across all of these beautiful verses in the Bible, like the one there in Ephesians. For it is by grace, not works, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not even our faith is from ourselves, it's a gift. Even our faith, which holds on to God, is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That is the gift that God has given to all of us, and that is the truth, then, that sets us free. So final question is God still serious about Bible study today? What do you think? Why? You don't have to do anything. But God is serious. This verse here from Deuteronomy, if you put that up. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them, and they literally did, as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. He's saying, be in the Word all day long. When you get up in the morning, read the Word. Hey, kids, there's an app on your Bible, on your phone now. You can get the Bible. How about that? Right? Don't even have to actually have the book. During the day, read the Bible, listen to it on that iPhone. Open the four or five Bibles that you have at home. Take one to work, read it again at night. The reason that God is serious, not because He wants to burden you, not because He wants to hinder you, not because He requires anything from you, but because He wants to literally set you free. Every single day, every single moment of your life. Now I'm going to go back to the beginning here and talk about those fall games once again. You know, it's all about hiding, but that's not where the joy is. And I remember times I would be at home. This time of the year, I had lots of cousins. We would all get together on the farm, and we would play hide and seek. And I would go hide like everyone else. And I had this great spot. They never found me. They never found me. But there was no fun in that. The fun was at the end of the game. And I would hear this call. Ollie, Ollie, all in free. Ollie, Ollie, all in free. It meant the game was over. It meant the hiding is over. And that's what the Word of God does for us. We don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to cover up our sin. The Lord not only knows, but He is forgiven. And that's the message. The message of the Reformation, it is the Word of God that sets us free. Thanks be to God for people like Martin Luther 500 years ago that helped us to rediscover what true religion is. It's all about a God who loves us. May God continue to remind us every day as we read His Word.